Hello and welcome to A Permabyte from the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann, a listener-supported program. On September 6th, photographer John and I traveled to Ithaca, New York, and the surrounding areas to participate in the first-ever Finger Lakes Permaculture Site Tour, organized by the Finger Lakes Permaculture Institute and sponsored by Ithaca Beer Company, Alternatives Federal Credit Union, Green Star, Sustainable Tompkins, and a neighborhood mini-grant. This experience allowed us to visit functioning example permaculture sites. There were 12 sites total, but we weren't able to visit all of them that day. Rather, we made it to four: Wellspring Forest Farm, Cayuta Sun Farm, McDaniel's Nut Grove, and Edible Acres. Wellspring Forest Farm is Steve Gabriel's home site. Steve is a past and returning guest on the show, and it was nice to see his home, where he puts the practices we've talked about, including farming mushrooms in the woods, into action. John, Steve, and I walked the open area of the farm and discussed the grazing practices he uses with the sheep as a way to control weeds, that included how he initially had to knock down and remove a bunch of the woody material to get to the softer grasses for the sheep to eat. Since then, the sheep have been effective at ground control. With 10 sheep on pasture, we discussed how many he might add to this group, perhaps enough to double his current flock. He also showed us a discharge swale connected to a dug pond, such that the swale would flood with overflow and move water through his landscape. As other visitors arrived, John and I parted with Steve and went on a self-guided tour of the wooded area to see the mushroom production space. Unlike in my speaking with others in Pennsylvania, farming mushrooms in the woods of New York is a serious undertaking. All four sites we visited produced mushrooms in some capacity, in much greater quantities than I've seen in my own area. On the edge of the woods, not far from Steve's yurt, were a large series of wire mesh compost bins holding both garden and yard waste, as well as compost from the outdoor toilet. Also in the woods were a variety of fowl running in and among the mushroom area within a fenced space. Emerging from the woods returned us to the large Zone 1 vegetable gardens situated along the main drive. Here a variety of plants grew and provided a place for us to speak with Steve about cover crops. John and I both learned that if we want to use daikon radish to break up soil and add organic material, but also possibly to harvest as food, so that we might stack functions, it's important to pick radishes that are selected for food quality and not just tillage. Around this time, more guests began to arrive, so John and I headed on to Cayuta Sun Farm. Cayuta Sun is the home of Michael G. Burns and forms a teaching campus for the Finger Lakes Permaculture Institute. Along with meeting Burns and his wife, we also spoke with a number of the interns on site and walked around to see the buildings, including the octagon, a reciprocated beam roundwood structure that is one of the primary classrooms. Looking up through the top, the overlapping beams are visible, which the staff and students nicknamed the Eye of Mollison. A picture of that is in the show notes. After our initial introductions, Michael began an ongoing walking tour where people could drop in and out as they wanted. Along the way, he showed us his brush on contour experiment that he is using to measure and judge runs for an agroforestry installation with his chickens. I really like this idea, especially for here in very wet central Pennsylvania, because of how I could adapt this using brush I already have on my home site to lay out and begin developing contoured fence rows to filter floodwaters and capture debris. Michael also showed us his Jerusalem artichokes, Helianthus tuberosus, which he uses as a ground cover and for biomass. We also saw the outdoor, two-stall, composting toilet, which Michael tells us is the first structure that Steve Gabriel ever built about a decade ago. While there, we also saw the pigs, though I never did ask what breed they were. The piggies, however, were quite friendly and wandered alongside while we continued the tour back around to the front of the property to look at and discuss the energy budget of the home. On just a small wind turbine and a few solar panels, the Burns meet their energy needs, though with some concessions, such as a limit on small kitchen appliances. At this point, John and I split our party. I went to talk with the other folks on site, and he went to tour the chicken salad bar garden and the Burns energy-efficient home. John reported back that he was amazed by how all of the living space in the home was utilized, and how the way choices were made in order to maximize both the beauty and functionality of the home. This was illustrated handsomely by the rich stain on plywood countertops. Inexpensive, pleasing to the eye, replaceable, but still able to take hot or cold foods or the slip of a knife. I also like this idea as a countertop surface because it could be repaired with some sandpaper to take off a little bit and continue using without needing to replace. As I have a bent towards the social side of things, I was amazed by the number of people on site as part of the tour, as well as the collaboration of the interns and the long-term residents. As a teacher, I liked seeing the way the interns worked on their teaching ability as they ran continuous workshops on mushroom cultivation and introductions to permaculture. When John and I reconnected, we had a nice chicken barbecue lunch that was prepared on site, and then headed over to the McDaniels Nut Grove. Located on the campus of Cornell University, the McDaniels Nut Grove started as a clear-cut space that Mr. McDaniels used as a research area to graft nut trees in the early 20th century. As Jamie, our on-site guide, explained to us, Mr. McDaniels saw nuts as an alternative to grain-based agriculture. To develop the grove, he would visit various farm shows and other agricultural events where nut competitions were held. There, he sought out the winners of the events and asked to take cuttings of the award-winning trees, with a focus on nut quality and overall productivity. Throughout the grove were a number of fine specimen trees. Fast forward to the 2000s, however, and Dr. Ken Mudge and Steve Gabriel began restoring the site from just standing trees. Now, in addition to the original nut grove, other woodland products are being investigated, including pawpaws and mushrooms. There was a simple majesty to standing in that human-managed space that reminded me that we can work with nature to create beautiful landscapes that serve not only human needs, but other life as well. After visiting with Jamie and taking pictures there, we had one last site to visit, so headed to Edible Acres. At Edible Acres, we met Sean Dombrowski, who was unknown to me before attending this event. I'm very glad, though, that we did visit, because he has a very well-developed small farmstead, and his site is a reminder that money doesn't need to be a barrier to this practice. Sean split black locust and combined it with some hardware cloth to keep out small animals, and some wire around the upper ends of the posts to exclude deer. Total cost? Under $100. But it allows him to readily propagate plants of many varieties in this space until they're of a size to plant out elsewhere in the yard. Multiple times, Sean referenced how he used a design in order to minimize his costs, then combined them with free or durable products in order to maximize the usefulness of his work. One example, which you'll see a picture of in the show notes at thepermaculturepodcast.com/2014/FLPCI, is a hand-dug well that Sean uses to collect rainwater runoff from surrounding fields. Then pairing that with an inexpensive $20 bilge pump he purchased off of eBay, that he connected to a solar panel and truck battery, he pumps that collected water up into a storage tank. Then, as needed, he opens the valve in the tank to flood irrigate his raised beds. Having hand-leveled the beds by scraping the surface with a hoe after flooding them to show the high and low spaces, he can now evenly distribute water to all of the beds. Now, he can flood the garden, and the water percolates into the edges of the raised beds and the surrounding ground. Because of the soil building he's done, and by watching the landscape when he waters, little goes to waste. There were other examples of this throughout Sean's property, but we were short on time after the full day, so headed back to the Ithaca Beer Company to process our pictures and post them to the Facebook page for the show, facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. After the data download, thanks to the Ithaca Beer Company's Wi-Fi, we had a few pints, a bite to eat, and hung around with the folks in the Finger Lakes region of New York at the end of day reception. It was really nice to be able to see so many people interested and engaged about permaculture. We also, in addition to Steve Gabriel and Michael Burns, got to meet Karen Olson Ramanujan and Rebecca Cutter, and spent time speaking with Matt Stillerman and Chris, whose last name I didn't catch, about permaculture and places we can go both as novices as well as well-practiced practitioners. It was an enjoyable time because we learned more about the people and places that are doing this regenerative design work, including at the sites we didn't get to visit. So what's next? I want to go back up to the Finger Lakes and spend a few days in the area getting in-person interviews, including first-time conversations with Michael Burns and Rebecca Cutter, and follow-ups with Karen Olson Ramanujan and Steve Gabriel. I also want to visit with Matthew and Petra of Fruition Seeds and speak with them about their unique plant breeding work to develop localized seeds using traditional methods. In the area is also Melissa Madden at Good Life Farm, who is practicing broad-scale perennial agriculture. Then there are also other sites I didn't get to visit on this trip, such as Sapsquatch Maple Syrup and Hawk Meadow Farm. I'm organizing that trip back to Ithaca for early 2015. If you like this kind of report, and hearing about the various regional approaches to permaculture and the practitioners in the area, help support these field reports so we can learn more about the incredible permaculture projects active around the United States and elsewhere in the world. Go to www.thepermaculturepodcast.com/support to make a one-time or ongoing contribution to these efforts. If you'd like, you can include a note saying travel, and I'll earmark what you give for future trips of this kind. I do have two more journeys currently on the calendar. The next is to Bridgeton, New Jersey, on October 11th, 2014, for ChabaCon, to see Lester Brown of the Earth Policy Institute deliver a keynote address and how a community can move towards more sustainable and regenerative practices. After that, from October 20th through the 22nd, or maybe the 23rd, depending on what I get into, I'll be in Roanoke, Virginia. As part of that trip, I have farm tours and interviews scheduled with Lee and Dave of Radical Roots Farm in Keeseltown, Virginia, Rick Frederick of Lick Run Farm, and Holly Brown of Island Creek Farm. While there, on Tuesday, October 21st at 6:30 p.m., I'll deliver a short lecture on permaculture at the Roanoke Natural Food Co-op at Grandin Village. That's it so far, but there's much, much more to come. Thank you for your support, which allows me to share permaculture as far and as wide as possible. Until the next time, create a better world each day by taking care of Earth, yourself, and each other.